Each change of administration brings the most important question: what does it mean to me? For people living in the D.C. region, the economic influence of the federal government is waning. Steve Fuller, professor of public policy at George Mason University, has been tracking those trends. He talked with Tom Temin about his latest research.
So tell us what it looks like in terms, let's start with the people in the D.C. region. People used to say, well, golly, there's a change in administration, it's going to affect real estate. But in fact, it's very few houses that actually change hands as a result of administration. But give us the big picture of the impact population-wise of the federal government locally.
Well, I think the context here is important. Over the years, as this region has grown rapidly, it's one of the faster-growing large metropolitan areas in the country, the federal workforce has become less important numerically. Right now, as of last month, October of 2016, we had 372,000 federal employees in the executive branch. That's 11% of the total workforce. It has been a much higher percentage if we go back to the World War II or the early 1950s. So it's not the whole story, even though people around the country think almost everybody in the Washington area works for the federal government.
So when Metro, for example, talks about having a 600 or 700,000 person trip day, actually only a fraction of that then would really be the classic idea of federal workers going from Silver Spring or Great Falls into central D.C.
That's correct. The federal workforce does represent a disproportionate share of the Metro ridership, not a majority, but they work downtown, the large percentage of them are in locations served by Metro, and they have very fixed work hours, so it works for them. But Metro carries about 26% of the commuters in this region on a daily basis. So, you know, it's moving a lot of people, and it's clearly very important, and does serve the federal government. It's clearly important to them.
And moving out from, say, that donut hole, you've got the contractor workforce. And what are the trends there with respect to people and their economic impact?
Now, in both cases, it's interesting to note that in 2010, the numbers of federal employees and the amount of federal contracting reached their peak. So going back, we had 387,000 federal employees in 2010, and we now have 372. That's somewhat the effect of the sequester. And since then, particularly in 2013-14, contractors really got hit hard in 2013 and 14, and we've lost about $11 billion there's $11 billion less in federal contracting last year than there was in 2010. So those numbers are declining. We convert that to people, to workers, full-time equivalent workers. My estimate would be today 450,000 federal contractors, down from maybe closer to 500,000 in 2010. Those are very imperfect numbers, but they're close, I think.
So 700,000 to 800,000 federal employees plus federal contractor workers in a metropolitan statistical area of what, about 5 million?
6 million people, but 3.3 million jobs. So it's clearly important, and the contractors tend to be in the suburbs, so they have a different travel pattern and a different we can see them spread around the Beltway. They're not only on the Beltway, but clearly they fill out the office market that we have that in effect hasn't done very well in the last couple of years because the contractor base hasn't grown, it's shrunk.
We're speaking with Steve Fuller, professor of public policy at George Mason University. I noticed there was a story in the past couple of days of three new towers going up in Bethesda with height restrictions that could take them up to 30 stories, 25 or 30 stories. Nothing to do at all with the federal government. It's all Marriott and housing.
That's exactly right. Roslyn, we can see the same thing. There's a 350-foot building, the tallest building in the region, sitting empty, brand new, been empty for 2 years, and there's another one under construction. So these are all waiting for private users and increasingly non-federally dependent. I mean, that's really what's happening to the Washington economy because of the reductions in federal spending dating back to 2010 and accelerating in 2013-14 with the sequester, is that this region is growing now, but it's stimulated by national and global markets. It's an incredibly successful year that we're finishing in 2016. 71,000 net new employees, the best since 2004 when the federal government was really growing. Now it's not growing. No federal increase in spending this past year to speak of. So it's something else. And it's very interesting to watch how the private sector is driving growth now. And it's harder to see. You know, when it was the federal government, you could we're a company town still, but it was clearly no measurable. Now what kind of jobs we're adding, we know what kind they are, but we don't know who they're doing business with other than they're not dependent on federal spending.
What are the drivers in terms of sectors they're coming from? Biomedical, would that be one of them?
That's one that has great promise. It's not large. The largest categories falls under professional and business services, and the largest subset of that is scientific and technical services. So I think of them as IT workers. That's overly simplistic. But included in that group are lobbyists, association organizations, nonprofits, but also lawyers. We always have a lot of those here, accountants, but increasingly software engineers or people that use computer technology or technology generally in the workplace. We have more software engineers in the Washington economy than they have in Silicon Valley, but we do applications. They write software and manufacture it. So it's just different.
Let's get to lawyers for a second, because the legal profession, I think, nationwide has been undergoing retrenchment. There's a lot of consolidation among the big law firms. How is the legal profession doing in Washington as something largely dependent on federal procurement?
Well, lawyers do many different things. And so we think of lawyers practicing law maybe in a more traditional way. We have many of those here who do criminal law and administrative business law. But lawyers tend to work in companies as in many forms. And so you can, as do economists. We have more economists per capita in Washington than any metropolitan area in the country.
That's why it's so dismal sometimes, I guess. Huh?
Well, it's just that economists and lawyers are trained with analytical minds, looking for different things, of course. But the law profession sets people up very nicely to be administrators or managers, or they're very structured and methodical. So we find a lot of the organizations in Washington have lawyers running them or are involved. It's growing here. What's interesting is the law practice, of course, and lawyers more broadly are doing different kinds of work today. They're highly technical. They don't have big law libraries like we used to, and they have much less space per worker. Great efficiencies emerging in most of the clusters that drive the economy in Washington.
So if you're in mahogany paneling, it's not a great field to be in right now, I guess.
I would think that's true.
What do you see as the trends, the proportions you mentioned of federal workers and federal contractors to the overall regional economy? Will that continue to drift down as a percentage, or will it stabilize?
No, it's drifting down because the economy is growing. In 2010, federal spending, if we took all federal spending, payroll and procurement federal retirement disability and small business loans, you know, every federal dollar, it was almost 40% of the economy. It was a $325 billion economy, and 40% of it was federally based. Today, this year, we're about a $500 billion economy, and the federal government is about 35%, and I think by the end of the decade, it will be closer to 30%. It doesn't mean the federal government's gotten smaller. It sort of has stabilized, maybe the best way to describe it, and the rest of the economy has picked up its pace. So it's become less dependent, but still, we're a company town. Most of the businesses in Washington, or many of the businesses that do national or global business, have a connection to the federal government as a source of information, or as they're regulated by the federal government. They need to be close to the regulators, and so it's a company town with a difference.
Steve Fuller is professor of public policy at George Mason University. Thanks for joining me.
Very good to be with you today.